Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Nikhil Raj, who is VP Walmart e-commerce, one of the obviously most important aspects of Walmart as it is reinventing retail. Nikhil, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about the reinvention of retail. Certainly it's something we read about, we cover on Payments.com in a lot of depth and detail. And the reinvention of retail is driven by so many different things, obviously mobile and the ability for those devices to connect to the internet. I'm curious, how is mobile and e-commerce reinventing Walmart, and what are you doing to further that reinvention?
Yeah, see, that's a great question. I think when you think about reinventing something, it really goes back to kind of what it was before and kind of how that is changing. And that's really the reinvention. So if you think about what it was before, I think early on, I think it used to be the age of the brands. Even I'm talking about 25 to 40 years ago, early days of Walmart. And Walmart as a retailer was not as established as they are now. And we relied heavily on our brand partner suppliers. And to a certain extent, we were kind of following their guidance. And maybe in the last 5 to 20 years ago, that reinvented itself, and so the retailers became more dominant and powerful, and I suppose that's not the right word to use there, but had more of an influence in the ecosystem as the relationship to the consumer ended up at that point. Now, I think in the last 5 years, it's kind of like the age of the consumer, and that's really how retail is really reinventing itself. And when I say age of the consumer, I think the breadth and depth of the choices and tools that consumers have today to help them shop is really putting the power squarely in the hands of the consumers. And we as a retailer have to absolutely be focused on that for us to be successful in the next 20 to 50 years. And I think that's kind of how being a key part of putting that power in the consumer's hands.
I think you're exactly right. I think mobile is shifting the power to the consumer. And I guess my question for you is, it's a reality. And it's something that you have to address and use.
Yeah, we don't have a choice on this one.
Yeah, you don't have a choice. So is mobile making consumers more loyal or less loyal?
I think it's hard to say exactly whether the loyalties have changed. It is just another channel. Like I said earlier, it's not a choice that we have. And we have to serve them, whether they are on the mobile phone or not. One thing I'd like to say, though, is that mobile has certainly created opportunities to engage with customers that didn't exist before and serve them that didn't exist before. It also has created a sense of instant gratification. I touch a button and something shows up at wherever I am, whether it's a car or whether it's home I want to rent or whether it is something I want delivered. So the expectations are much higher now as well. So yes, they are, if you are able to deliver that expectation, I think you get more loyalty, more engagement. But if you don't, I think this is going to be a real challenge.
I think you're right. It is a double edge. You mentioned that mobile provides the consumer and the retailer both to take advantage of opportunities that didn't exist before. What are some of the things that you are doing? What are the opportunities that you see and that you're uncovering and delivering new experiences to consumers that you couldn't do before mobile?
Right. I think one of the thing that differentiates mobile from everything else before it is location. And the dynamic nature of consumers as they are moving around adds this whole new dimension of location as to where they are in terms of contextualizing where the consumer is and how we reach them, right? So if you think about one of the biggest benefits of location is that as people move around, they are probably more in proximity with a physical brick-and-mortar store than with their home and closer to a laptop or a desktop. So in some strange way, mobile is providing brick-and-mortar retailers with the opportunities, with unique opportunities to serve consumers as they are moving around and making the location available to us. One example would be you're in a kids soccer game and you need some drinks. Can you get that Gatorade delivered to you at the game? mm-hmm. or it's late at night and you need a bottle of Tylenol for a child that's developed a fever, can you have that brought home instead of having to drive out, right? So there are opportunities for us to allow consumers to use technology and deliver a service. Or when you come into the store, can we greet you, recognize that you're there, and have your products ready for you as you walk by, or if you upload your shopping list to us, can we pick it out for you and have it ready so you can just drive through and put those items in your trunk? So you don't even have to get out of the car with your kids and so on and so forth. So I think it just opens up a whole another dimension of opportunities for us, whether it is serving the consumer, not necessarily in the store, but really where they are, when they are, when they need it. Right? That's kind of the whole new aspect of this thing.
So my next question is maybe a little bit more strategic. So if I think about Walmart, and Walmart has done over the years that it's existed, it truly has forced so many other retailers to adjust their strategies. You're humongous. You see hundreds of millions of consumers every week. The statistics are astounding. Online, is it different? Is the competitive environment that you are a part of online a different competitive playing field? And if so, how are you looking at that competitive playing field? Is the physical part of Walmart part of your overall strategy to really compete differently online and via mobile?
Well, obviously, I can't go into a lot of specifics around kind of our longer-term strategy. But I think, you know, you're absolutely right that we have a significant amount of scale. And in the brick-and-mortar world, we have also made significant investments in the digital world, if you sort of read up on our earnings call and what we've been investing in e-commerce. I think if you combine the two together, we really think we're in a very unique position in the entire market to be able to deliver to the consumer services that seamlessly integrate to the digital and the brick-and-mortar experiences. So that said, if I just kind of look at to answer your question about competition and kind of how things work in the online world, there are obviously very, very big players that are well-established in a traditional e-commerce or pure play sense. In addition to that, there is a lot of activity in other, let's call it media platforms, that have already garnered the attention of the consumer in one service, mm-hmm. and then extending that attention into other services that include shopping. So it's a combination of different things coming at us in different ways. But I would like to say that service that kind of seamlessly brings together the digital and the physical interactions, brick and mortar interactions, are the ones that have a competitive advantage longer term. And that's kind of where we're focused on as well as a company.
It's really interesting to see how the e-commerce players are competing on very specific types of attributes. So, of course, delivery is now becoming a very important part of the e-commerce mm-hmm. experience, whether that is ordering online, picking up in store, ordering online, to your example, delivering it, you know, in an expedited fashion, or simply having overnight or two-day delivery. How has that changed how you need to think about managing the e-commerce platform at Walmart? I mean, the consumer wants it, but it must imply other fundamental changes yeah. business operates.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is a pretty significant focus in how we bring our e-commerce platform to the consumer from the various delivery services that you alluded to, which is maybe related to or maybe even be different from the various, let's call it general merchandise type transactions that consumers do, right? So most of the delivery and the focus on bringing stuff to the consumer is really around food, grocery, and consumables. Mm-hmm. And we have a combination of pilots that are live around what we are sort of trying to do in that space. And it includes a combination of types of services that we have launched across some small pilot markets around the U.S. The piece about the e-commerce platform is actually a very interesting one, where in the end, we have to serve the consumers where they are when they need it, no matter what part of the world we're in. So we have to, we made a pretty significant investment in a brand new e-commerce platform across the site that not only supports the general merchandise business, but also has specific hooks built into it to help enable the delivery pilots that are going on. So I think it's we explicitly address it in terms of making sure our e-commerce platform supports not only a general merchandise situation, but also a grocery consumable delivery type situation as well.
Interesting. So there was a lot of fanfare when you launched the Savings Catcher app. And I remember reading about that and thinking, you know, how interesting. Walmart has always made its reputation on, we are always the lowest price, always. We're not a loyalty play. We're not an offers platform. We're just the assurance that you can't find it cheaper anywhere else. Was that really done to reinforce that on the mind of the consumer? Or what was your experience in launching that, and what has been your experience with consumers using it?
Exactly that. We want to stand behind our brand promise and make it very clear that we are about everyday low price, and we are not about offers and sales and deals and those kinds of, I shouldn't call them gimmicks, but really the business models. That's just not us. So that's really been the core idea behind it. And it's, again, another example of how we can bring technology, mobile, digital, brick and mortar together to deliver an experience like none other. Right? That's basically another way to look at the same thing. So we're very, very happy about the uptake and the exposure of our digital tools to the Savings Catcher program that consumers have taken advantage of. And we think it's really a fundamental thing for Walmart to lead on price. Mm-hmm. And we believe that that is kind of reinforced by the fact that they're standing behind it. So I think it's been good for us in many different respects.
So as I think about a couple of final questions, you know, you read a story after story of how consumers are using their mobile devices to discover and to check prices and product recommendations. And so there's a lot of narrative around that. Is there something that you've discovered about how your consumers are using mobile and digital to interact with you that you're willing to share? Anything that surprises you? Anything that you think is different or was a, aha, I never thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I think I'm in the world of marketing. My role here is to build a marketing technology platform for Walmart's use. That's basically what I do. And there are a few things that we've noticed. Obviously, just the sheer volume and the growth on mobile is number one. I think that has taken the entire industry by storm, not just us. Hmm. And the pace at which the behavior is shifting into that onto that platform is incredible. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, you know, we actually believe that this will enable brick and mortar more and more, especially around us also having access to the same tools that the consumers have. And in many cases, we're building the tools. So I believe what was maybe during the heyday of e-commerce, the word showrooming, mm-hmm. where you would come and showroom in the store and then buy online. I think there may be a reversal of that trend and the new word of web rooming. I don't know if you've heard that.
Yes.
In the end, browsing online for prices and it's getting matched in the store. Mm-hmm. And the sale is ultimately owned by the brick and mortar as long as the online price is matched, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting opportunity for us to be able to do that. And we certainly match Walmart.com prices in our stores, and we've got a specific strategy around everything else. And that's another thing that's surprising us, where we're now, you know, the whole concept of web rooming. And finally, I think, you know, consumers do this fundamental value proposition is if you have the right price and assortment, you can make it accessible to them and give them a good experience, right? It doesn't matter if it is e-commerce or if it's store, if it's web mobile, it really comes back down to the consumer. Mm-hmm. If we have the ability to meet those the core things around price and access and good experience and perhaps good assortment, I think it's fundamentals and that's what. So we should continue to focus on that. And there are really no surprises there. I mean, that's how stuff works with retail and consumers.
It's interesting because, you know, a lot of players that grew up in a physical brick and mortar environment that then added e-commerce kind of added it as a separate thing. And of course, it, as you just point out, it needs to be one seamless, fluid channel for the consumer. You know, the cliche omni-channel is the reality. It's how consumers expect to interact with their retail partners. How hard is that to do when you're the world's biggest retailer?
Our e-commerce CEO, Neil, sort of puts it really well. He's like, are you going to get up this morning as a consumer and say, I'm going to go omni-channel shopping today, right? Nobody says that, right? That's true. In the end, you're going to go shopping today, and you're going to figure out what you want, and you're going to make sure that you have it at the right price and the right, get the right experience and so on. So I think if you start from the consumer and pull the thread through the enterprise, it really aligns everything that we do as a company to serve the consumer all in one direction. Where barriers around omni-channel, around technology, around product, around lines of business, around profitability, around revenue will follow as a consequence of providing an excellent customer experience, an excellent platform for people to shop and manage their shopping experience, independent of what channel it is on and what impact it has to the P&L or the business implications, are only going to be good, assuming customer experience is what it needs to be. And I think that's the key there. I think all of these, I don't want to call them artificial, but all of these boundaries that come up, whether it's based on channel, whether it's based on product or assortment or technology or mobile or desktop, is all really just aligned around the best experience that we can provide to consumers. And that's the way to think about it. And that really aligns all of this with the goal that we all need to be focused on. That's making the consumer happy.
So final question. This is where you get to gaze into your crystal ball and look down the road 10 years from now. You know, when we think about change in payments over a decade, you know, payments move so slowly and change happens very slowly. What will retail look like in 10 years? Will it kind of look the same as it looks now, or will there be a radical transformation?
The crystal ball questions are always a really interesting ones, but it's always almost impossible to answer. In other words, if I knew the answer to the question, I would do it, and I would make a lot of money doing that. But that said, I think absolutely, and if the last 3 years have not been an indicator of the change, I don't know if anybody who's not noticed it, I don't know where they were looking. But I think if you just look back 3 years ago, most shopping and retail was still offline. Actually, it still is. 90% of U.S. consumer shopping is still offline. But the amount of technology proliferation and the availability of instant tools has just skyrocketed, putting the power squarely in the hands of the consumer, like we opened the conversation. So that is not necessarily going to change. I think you'll see continually sort of the balance of power shift to the consumer. What really is going to change is the fact that technology is continuously inventing newer and better and faster and more beautiful way of doing things will really sort of converge to sort of the ultimate power to the consumer, where, you know, the way I want it, when I want it, the instant it's available to me, and it's brought to me, handed to me wherever I am, whenever I need it, right? I think that's going to be the sort of the point there, and there will be a proliferation of tools and services to enable not only the retailers to get there, but also to, but mainly because the consumer is going to demand it. And that's, I think, where things are going to are headed, to be honest. That's kind of my, if I were to make the prediction, that's where I would go with it.
Well, Nikhil, it was really wonderful to get your perspective on what's happening in the broader retail space, and specifically what you're doing at Walmart on the digital side to make the consumer experience all that it can be and should be with the devices and the access that they have with mobile and other digital channels. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for your time. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure to speak with you as well. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.